And today, we're starting a new sermon series, not the one I was going to actually preach this spring. I changed when I started to hear and talk to some of you and hear about your journeys right now and talk to the staff, and they shared some of your journey with me. I changed the sermon series from what we were going to do to walking with Jesus through the seasons of life. Because some of you right now are going through some tough seasons. And so we're together going to go through and walk through. We're going to look at doubt. We're going to look at grief. We're going to look at fear. We're going to look at some other topics. And we're going to look at one today that I wasn't even planning on putting in the series. But then in the last couple of weeks, I've had like 4 or 5 conversations with people in our church that have said either I've failed or I feel like a failure. And so this morning, we're going to walk with Jesus through the seasons of failure. And we're actually going to look at a passage that we've looked at before, but I think it's such a powerful passage when we talk about failure. So let me pray for you, and then we will jump in. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for this last 30 years. And God, I really believe with all my heart, the best days of Saanich are ahead of us. And Father, thank you for the privilege you've given Sylvia and I to be part of this church and to lead. We just, Father, love what you're doing here and love the direction we're going. And we're just thankful for your faithfulness, God. And Father, as we start this new series today, I know right now in this congregation, there are people here that need to hear your words over these coming weeks. They need to have an encounter with you at a deep, deep level. And so, God, I pray that that will happen in these next weeks. I pray you will help us, you will encourage us, you will come alongside us, God, in these days. And Father, I just pray that these will be great days of you doing some significant healing work in the lives of people in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever failed? Have you ever failed? Have you ever failed? Yeah, bad day. Here's another one. Takes you a minute. Okay, if you see, I tell you, cats are stupid, right? Dumb cat. Ever failed? Hey. 50 years, never won a cup. I'll show you another picture and you'll wonder what this is about. That's Cattle Point Boat Dock. That's where I had a failure. In fact, years ago now, my father-in-law had a boat, and he had a trailer like that, and he had a white station wagon. And a friend was in town, and we were going fishing. And so he backs the trailer down the Cattle Point boat ramp into the water. And then he says to me, I want you to get on the top of the boat ramp, and I want you to jiggle the boat free and push it out into the water. Sounds easy, right? So, I jiggle the boat, and I start to push it. And to this day, my father-in-law says he didn't gun the car at that point. But what I found was the boat and my hands are going this way into the water. My feet are going with the trailer up. And I'm hanging over this water and saying, what do I do? I hung on, and I floated out into the ocean with the boat. And got totally and completely and utterly soaked and mocked severely. I failed at pushing the boat out. And to this day, my father-in-law says he didn't gun it, but I don't believe him. But here's the truth. Everyone experiences failure. Just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. It means you're human. Failure is inevitable. It's universal. It's part of being human. It's part of growing. It's part of being on this journey called life. Everyone fails. In fact, if you read the Bible, you'll see the Bible is full of failures. Noah, Moses, David, Jonah, all experience failure. And then, of course, there's the ultimate failure, Peter, right? I mean, Peter starts to walk on water, takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. Peter falls asleep while Jesus is pouring out his heart in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then Jesus even denied knowing Jesus. In Matthew 26, after Jesus and the disciples had finished a meal together, they went up to a place called the Mount of Olives. And Jesus there addressed his remaining 11 disciples because Judas was out of the picture at that point. And he said, listen to what he says. He says to them, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. And Peter, who was pretty self-confident, I would say pridefully so, says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. To which Jesus responded, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And look at what Peter said. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And after Peter said that, Jesus was arrested. He was taken off to be tried. And Peter follows from a distance. And at one point, he sits himself down to warm himself by a fire. Let's pick up the story. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 69, it says this. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside, and he wept bitterly. Notice Peter's response. He went outside and he wept bitterly. Proudful, self-confident Peter had failed big time. Big time. And chances are you can recall a moment in your life where you failed big time. Maybe you did something that destroyed your marriage or a significant relationship in your life. Maybe your addiction cost you your job, or maybe you failed as a parent. Maybe you blew it financially, or maybe a business you were trying to start collapsed. Maybe you failed at school. I'm sure all of us have a failure story inside of us. And maybe that failure caused you to weep bitterly. Maybe it caused you to beat yourself up. Maybe it caused you to experience deep shame and guilt. Peter failed and he knew it. Now let's go over to John chapter 21. Everything in John chapter 21 happened after Easter, after the disciples had a series of encounters with the risen Jesus. So it's a little surprising to find Peter in John chapter 21 in a boat fishing. Peter, why are you fishing? You've encountered the risen Jesus. I think if you asked Peter if he believed that Jesus was the risen Savior, if he had risen from the dead, I think Peter would have said, yes. Yes, he's risen. I've seen him. But I'm equally sure at this point in his life, Peter was certain that the resurrection had nothing to do with him. He denied Jesus. He'd failed. Peter had a chance. He had his moment in the sunlight. He had a chance to do something great. And when that moment came, he blew it. How could Jesus ever use him again after all he'd done? And so Peter went back to the thing he knew, fishing. What else could he do? And today, sitting here, some of you may feel like Peter. You may say, I've blown it. I'm a failure. I'm washed up. And here's Peter, the failure, fishing with his friends, and it was around sunrise when they see a dimly lit figure walking along the beach. And this figure said, have you caught any fish? And the fisherman replied, nothing, not one. Peter can't even fish anymore. Not only can't he follow Jesus, well, he can't even fish anymore. And then this figure said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. And when they did that, their net got so full of fish it began to break. And at that moment, John says, it's the Lord. Now, how did John know that it was Jesus? They couldn't make out who it was on the beach that was talking to them. The reason John shouted, it's the Lord, was his current situation was an echo of something that happened several years before. Back in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5, we see that Jesus comes upon these fishermen who had been out fishing all night. And he asked them how the fishing was, and they told him they caught nothing. And so Jesus told them to go back out and fish some more. And that was kind of a strange request. Because in those days, these guys are professional fishermen. They know you fish at night, not during the day. And yet here's a rabbi telling a fisherman to go out and fish some more. But for some reason, Peter says, because you asked, we will do it. And so when they went out and fished, they caught so many fish that another boat had to come over and help them with the haul just to bring it to shore. So now here in John 21, John realized he was experiencing deja vu. He was experiencing what he experienced back in Luke chapter 5. And that's how John knew that dimly lit figure was Jesus. And he shouted, it's the Lord! And John's comment and the full nets took Peter back to that moment when Jesus was so compelling, so real to him, so totally worthy of everything that Peter had given up his fishing business to follow Jesus. And so Peter, he's just overwhelmed with emotion, and so he jumps into the ocean or the lake and starts to swim to shore. And as he walked up onto shore, he could smell the charcoal fire. Now, sometimes in the Bible, you look at things and say, why are they there? Why did John say there was a charcoal fire? In fact, the word charcoal is only used twice in all of the New Testament. It's used here, and it's used in the story where Peter warmed himself by the fire when he denied the Lord. Do you see why John said it was a charcoal fire? When Peter came to shore, the aroma of the charcoal fire would have immediately reminded him of the night he betrayed Jesus. And all the memories and the shame would have come flooding back. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had a failure? And then there's something in your life that reminds you of that failure? Have you experienced that? Maybe it's a picture, maybe it's an object, maybe it's a person, but whenever you see that person or that picture or that object, it reminds you of that failure you experienced. And when you see that, all those feelings and emotions and thoughts rush back into you. That's what happened here. Peter comes to shore and he smells that charcoal fire and suddenly remembers the night that he denied Jesus. And so imagine this. Here's Peter sitting around this charcoal fire, him and Jesus. Can you imagine the tension? How would you have felt if you were Peter in that moment? You're sitting there wondering, what on earth is Jesus going to say to me? But listen, what didn't happen next was as important as what did. What didn't happen was this. Jesus didn't bring up Peter's failure. He didn't sit by the fire and look Peter in the eyes and say, I told you. You said you'd never deny me. I told you you would, you loser. You failure. You've disappointed me. I'm done with you. You're washed up. Jesus didn't say any of that. Jesus didn't say anything about Peter's past failure. Rather, he talked about the present and the future. See, what Peter saw was only his failure. Jesus was more interested in what Peter could become than all the things Peter had done wrong. And listen, I want to talk to you this morning. If you're experiencing failure, listen to this carefully. Jesus is more concerned about your future than your past. Jesus is more concerned about your future than your past. He's more interested in what you can become than in all the things that you've done wrong. And so here's Peter and Jesus. They're sitting around this fire, and there's this tension. Peter's wondering, what's going to happen? Well, look at the conversation. John 21, starting in verse 15. Simon, son of John, that's Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time. Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Thank you. You're still with me. Good. How many times did Jesus ask Peter, do you love me? More of you are awake. This is good. Do you see what Jesus was doing here? He had Peter make a threefold affirmation to cover his threefold denial. And notice what Jesus told Peter to do. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you see what was happening here? Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, you're not washed up. I still have a purpose for you. You still have something important to do. Peter, I've got a role for you to play. I want you to lead and teach and take care of my followers. And then I love this. In verse 19, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Once again, Jesus was extending an invitation to Peter to follow him, just like he'd done back in Luke 5. Jesus forgave and restored and recommissioned Peter. He gave Peter a fresh start. And listen, that encounter with Jesus changed absolutely everything for Peter, because the guy who thought Jesus was through with him, the guy who thought he had failed and couldn't recover from that, the guy who thought he was washed up, well, just a few weeks later in Acts 2, we find Peter standing up in front of thousands of people, boldly preaching about the man he had denied a few weeks earlier. And after Peter had finished preaching, 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus. Listen, Peter didn't just have a message. Peter was a message. A living message about the hope and the freedom and the forgiveness and the restoration the risen Jesus can bring. Peter came to understand a couple of things. I think Peter came to understand that failure was an event, not a destiny. And I think Peter came to understand that while failure is a powerful word, forgiveness is a more powerful word. And this morning you're sitting here and you all look good as usual, But maybe some of you are battling that sense of failure. Maybe it comes from, as I mentioned earlier, your job or your family. Maybe you feel like you failed Jesus like Peter had done. Maybe it's financial. I don't know what it is. But in this crowd, there are certainly some people who are battling failure. And you find yourself replaying that failure over and over in your mind. You're continually beating yourself up. And because of that, you're filled with remorse and regret and shame and guilt and maybe even anger. If that's you, I want you to hear this morning that Jesus is more concerned about your future than your past. He's more interested in what you can become than in all the things you've done wrong. I hope you believe that because it's true. Jesus wants you to know that your failure was an event. It is not your destiny. Because we have a God of the second and the third and the fourth and the tenth and the hundredth chance. We have the God of a new beginning. And when Jesus looks at you, he doesn't see a failure. He sees a story that is being written, a story that isn't over yet. I believe Jesus brought some of you here today so he could say to you, I want you to know you are not washed up. You don't have to be a slave to your failures anymore. I want to set you free. I have a purpose for you. I have something significant for you to do. Your story isn't finished yet. Do you believe that the one who forgave and restored Peter 2,000 plus years ago can do the same thing in your life today? Will you allow Jesus to work in your life? Remember, failure is a powerful word, but forgiveness is a more powerful word. And Jesus wants to pour out his forgiveness into your life. There's no failure. There's no addiction. There's no problem too big for our God. This is a new day. God is about to do a new thing. Will you allow him to give you a fresh start today? As you walk out the doors in a few minutes, will you walk out leaving your failure behind? Jesus wants to release some of you today into the future that he has for you. Will you let him? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the failures in the Bible, but we thank you more for the restoration that you brought to those people. As they failed, you restored. And what you were faithful to do back then, you are faithful to do today, now.